Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Was deflected out of the zone. Malkin out there, creeping up the NHL all-time goal list, sitting at number 40 with 520 into this one. And the Penguins get one there. Middle is deflected out of the zone.
Well, there's Kevin Hayes with the game winner. Dan Dunleavy on the call. A nice pass to the middle. And, well, no one picks up Hayes. He gets his first of the year. Penguins go up 3-1, and that's what they would need tonight to get it done. The goal of the game, brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. As we welcome you here into the postgame, Brian Colziel with you. Well, the Sabres tonight, I thought, overall in the end, might have had enough offensive opportunities to win this game, but some breakdowns and some scrambles and some lack of coverage, which, you know, we know is not something that the Sabres have, or it has been something the Sabres have done before, led to some goals against, and, you know, even one or two in there that I'd say I'd like my goaltender to stop. Nevertheless, it ends up with a 4-2 final, despite Buffalo outshooting the Penguins 31-19 and 19-8 in the third period. I want to give some credit to Tristan Jarry. He had some nice saves, but Jack Quinn converting tonight. No one else could for Buffalo. He got both of the Sabre goals, his sixth and seventh of the season, on some nice setups. McLeod set him up nice. Zucker set him up nice. But there was a really, really nice scramble for Buffalo with about, 2 minutes to go, a minute and a half to go. Jarry made some really nice saves in there. Buffalo could not finish. They never got a try on the power play the entire game. I know I was talking to Paul after two about saying, well, maybe Buffalo will get a power play. They never did. The Sabres got, there were zero penalties called on the Penguins all night. There was only one on Timmins, and unfortunately, a call that I know Paul thought maybe shouldn't have been made. I mean, maybe it's a whole game with no penalties at all, but a one-goal game, essentially. We know it's an empty netter. It ends up being a 4-2 final, but one goal mattered. And in the end, the Sabres, you know, I thought the goal that Russ scores immediately after Quinn ties it at one, like it's such a backbreaker at that point because Quinn scores, you finally broke through, it's 1-1, they played really good, I thought Buffalo did at the end of the second period, and they, for the most part, kept that up in the third, and then obviously a strong push down the stretch, but if you don't give up that goal to Rust right away on the next shift, that was something that the Sabres had done for many years during this playoff drought. They finally will get a goal. Finally, they get something positive, and then the next shift, it's always disaster. And that kind of looked like something that we had seen from seasons past with the Sabres defense just scrambling, the forwards like spinning and not getting control of the puck or not finding a body to cover, and then all of a sudden, you know, rusts again. And then on that play, I mean, Lukanen, I thought, a very soft shot from Rust got through his five hole. So I didn't really like anything on that entire setup, that entire sequence. You're coming off the goal with not a good response. The defense kind of just spinning in their tracks. Forwards not really covering anybody. And then I didn't like Lukanen letting it in through the five hole either there. So that Rust goal to me is painful To me, like that's that to me is the low moment of the night there. When Pittsburgh scores and makes it 2-1. The Hayes goal, like, Lukanen can't do anything on that. That's a gorgeous setup from Carlson. But Power's right there. He's even watching Hayes. And Hayes steps to the inside of him to retrieve the pass, and Power doesn't really do anything. Like, he's a big guy. Owen Power is easy to be a punching bag, I know, for fans. I think at times maybe it gets a little bit too far for him, but man, on that play, he's definitely not doing himself any favors. Like, you're a big guy. Even though I know you're not going to maybe knock him down in that moment, at the very least, stay with him so he doesn't have inside position to retrieve the pass perfectly from Carlson. And, you know, nobody else even kind of maybe backed in either. I mean, it was a quick pass, but they're there. They just, you know, didn't react in time. And, you know, Quinn tonight finishing outstanding. Both of his goals, quick releases, a good night for him offensively. We know Quinn has one of the best shots on this team. I mean, after Thompson, if you said, like, you know, tell me who's got the best shot on this team, I might go to Quinn next. So no surprise, but he finished up really nicely. Zucker, to me, what a, you know, three games now that he's been back. He is a spark plug. He's a difference maker on this team. And, you know, I think, more to that in the moment. Here's Jack Quinn live first in Pittsburgh as we go to the locker room with Paul.
Jack, first half of the game, you guys hardly could get in the offensive zone. Then the second half of the game, you got a lot of offensive zone pressure after that. What changed it around, do you think?
I think we started winning some more battles and kind of just started to turn the tables a little. 6-7 minutes left in the second, we were able to kind of play in their zone a lot more.
This is your third straight game with scoring a goal. Are you just starting to feel it now?
Yeah, it's been going well. Nice to get on the board and help the team. I feel like line with Sucks and Clotter, we're creating a lot, so it's been good.
What has changed for you personally in these last few?
I don't know. I think probably it's just going in. I think I've had a lot of chances lately and was in a bit of a slump, so I feel like you get some confidence when you see one go in.
What's been clicking so well with you and Zucker?
He's just a really good player, really fun to play with, makes players better around him. Great vision and kind of it's just a gamer. He wins so many battles and you feel like you're playing offense way more with him.
Second period, your team only had two shots on goal through the first 13, 14 minutes. What does this team need to do to create more of an offensive urgency from the start of a game or start of a period?
Yeah, it's something we're struggling with and we're talking about a lot. I think we just got to find a way to dictate the game from earlier on, and you know, it's been a focus for a while, and we're still struggling with it. So we gotta change that.
That had to be the killer when you score, and then 31 seconds later, it's in your net. That really has to be deflating, especially the way you guys were coming on.
Yeah, it's too bad. It's kind of how the game goes, but I feel like we were building a lot of momentum. So tough to see one go in there.
Jack Quinn on the post game. Brian, back to you.
All right, Paul. Thanks. Yeah, I agree. It's tough to see that go in. That was where I was just kind of going off, saying like that Russ goal is painful. It really is. They did all that work to kind of get back control. All right, back to the room. Here is Lukanen with Paul.
Uko, you were really busy in the beginning of the game. You guys really didn't get out of the zone. And then all of a sudden, about the midway point, you guys started really getting into the offensive zone. Well, what did you see that made the game different, do you think?
It's hard for me to say. I think we played a solid game. It wasn't the result we wanted, but there was good things today too.
How do you feel it went for you overall as you look at your game?
I mean, it sucks that we lost. You know, I don't know exactly what happened on the third one, but it was a great game. I think there was good saves and everything. So we can do better, but it's not all about today.
Was that first goal tipped?
Yeah, he went off the stick.
How great is that when that happens? Like, you're coming out, you're challenged, you're ready for it, then just last second.
I mean, you read it. He's going to the blocker side, and the D-man makes the right play to get his stick on the puck, and it goes to the other corner, so it's just unlucky. And, some guys, you get the bounces go your way, and sometimes they don't. So.
On the second one, when you lost your stick, did you lose track of the puck there too? Because I think you tried to pick it up once. And did you lose track of where the puck was?
Yeah, I mean, they were just trying to get it to the net. In the end, I think it came under one of our players' shin pads. So, you usually have a stick there, which, you know, helps goaltending. So, I don't know. It's a fast game, and those situations happen fast. So, you know, I think if I had to stick that would have gone in.
It's tough, too, the momentum-wise. You guys have just tied it up in 31 seconds. It's in your net. You'd like to have a good shift there, and that had to be a killer for the whole team when that goes in.
Yeah, it's frustrating for me, too. You know, of course, I want to make that save. And just overall, I think we got to be better as a team, and myself, too, to kind of just not to kind of let the game slip away that easily. You know, I think we, as I said, we had really, really, you know, solid things in the game too today. So it's frustrating that we kind of really slip away like that.
Is it tough for a game when it's going that slowly for like the first 30 minutes and then it really picks up after that, like to get your to be rhythm?
Yeah, but I mean, I said it before, you can't pick the games you play. You can't pick how they go. So you have to be ready for everything. It's not optimal in any way, but you know, as I said, you can't pick how many shots you get or when you do. So and you have to be ready all the time.
Thank you, Uko. Uko Pekka-Luukkonen in another postgame. Brian, back to you.
Thank you, Paul. Uko Pekka-Luukkonen tonight faced ninth.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
18 shots. Actually, I take that back. He faced 18 shots because the 19th one went into the empty net and let three goals in. So 15 saves on 18 shots, not the numbers and the save percentage that I'm sure he would have liked. I know he talked about the first goal against being tipped. Okay. I guess obviously there's nothing he can do there. The second one to me that Russ scored, that's the one that I know that went through the five hole. Like, I gotta see that one stop. Now, he talked about the stick being there, that he thinks that he would have stopped it. The third one, he had no chance. That was the pass to the middle to Hayes. That was a bang bang play. So yeah, there's the analysis of Lukanen's night again. Three goals against on 18 shots as Buffalo loses 4-2. Brian Colzio with you here on the post game. We're gonna be hearing from Lindy Ruff coming up here in just a moment from PPG Paints Arena, so keep it right here. While we wait for that, let's get our final stats in. They're brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. Final shot totals again in the third, 19-8 Buffalo. They put on pressure. Jari was good. He only got beat by just two wicked shots from Jack Quinn. 31-19 are the shots in favor of the Sabres at the end of this one here tonight. Power plays, special teams was a non-factor. The Penguins went 0-1. They had one power play in the first, and the Sabres never had a power play. Pittsburgh was never even called for a penalty. Again, it was maybe one of those games, though, where there really wasn't much to maybe be upset about in terms of things not being called. Jari gets the win, 29 saves. Luukkonen in the loss with 15 saves. And now we get to our Three stars of the game brought to you by Blue Star Home Services, your heating and cooling experts, ready to improve your home's comfort game plan. Get started at BlueStarHS.com. Jari, third star. I thought he was excellent in the third, excluding that, you know, pressure that Buffalo put on in the final 2 minutes. He's star number three. Jack Quinn had two goals for Buffalo, his sixth and seventh of the season, star number two. And Kevin Hayes, who got the game winner for Pittsburgh, star number one. The attendance tonight at PPG Paints Arena, 17,543. And Buffalo will next play Friday and the day after Thanksgiving. An early start. If you have tickets, it's a 4 p.m. game. 4 p.m. game. If you're listening on our flagship on WGR, we'll have the pregame at 3. Here's Lindy Ruff live in Pittsburgh with Paul.
Lindy, you really were coming on. You had started to get a lot of offensive zone pressure. You score a goal, and then 31 seconds, it's in your net. That had to be a killer as far as momentum-wise.
Yeah, that was definitely a killer. You know, I think a little bit of our puck play cost us dearly. It cost us in the first goal. Our puck play on that, right after we got back in the game and tied it up. We didn't handle the puck well, gave it away. Didn't execute the breakout, and that ended up in the back of our net.
How big an issue was puck play all night, though?
What's that?
How big an issue was puck play?
Puck play, if you look at, we had a couple two-on-ones leading into the third period. You had the Osland decision to pass, and you had Quinn had an empty net to put it in, and I think maybe he lost it as it was going through the pileup. There was some plays. It was a first period that, teams were kind of hunkering down defensively. I thought they did a great job breaking out. We were a step behind, and we let them break out too easy, which didn't allow us to spend much time playing in the zone.
You switched Benson and Doan. How much did that have to do with maybe flipping things around and you guys starting to get some offensive pressure?
I felt where the McLeod line was going good. Just the top line, there wasn't much going on there, so just tried to, put a lefty over there, could maybe get the puck back into the middle a little bit more. But it was a game where, I thought that McLeod line dominated for the most part. We were getting some decent shifts out of the Austin line, but the top line wasn't generating much. So just tried to catch a little fire there somewhere.
Connor's giveaway, did he think he just hit a forward trailing or someone
Who's
trailing
that?
Him? On Connor's giveaway earlier that led to the first goal, did he just think he hit someone trailing or?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't ask him. But that's a play that, you're advancing the puck. I don't understand, unless the opposition called forward or, I don't know. It was just, it's not a good decision. Like, our puck play there just killed us in a period that, there wasn't anything going on.
In the third goal, you had a guy there. I mean, and he just didn't pick him up.
Yeah, just lost his stick for a second. Guy got position, and it was a perfect pass. I still felt we got down to that 6-on-5 there a couple minutes. I thought Jari made a couple tremendous saves, or else we tie the game.
Lindy, your team only had one or two shots on goal in the first 14 minutes of the second period. Was it a matter of Pittsburgh doing something defensively? Was the sense of urgency not there to create offense?
I thought we got caught in a couple long shifts. You catch your team on a couple long shifts. We got caught in that game of we had a line out there for at least 2 minutes. We had a D pair that didn't get off for over 2 minutes. You're getting it out. They're getting it right back in. We got trapped in that situation where you're trying to advance it and change players, and they're coming right back at you. We've done that to teams, but and I felt that last 6-7 minutes of the second period, and then the third period, we really got on our game and did the same thing to them. Thanks.
Lindy Ruff on the post game. Brian, back to you.
Okay, that is Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff. Our locker room reports are brought to you by Outlet Liquor. We welcome them into our post game show features. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? All right, 4-2 the final. Pittsburgh over Buffalo. Despite a pressure-packed period from the Sabres, they actually net lost the third period by a goal there and end up losing 4-2. Okay, back we go to Pittsburgh. Let's get Paul Hamilton's final take. Paul, obviously the Sabres put on some nice pressure there in the third. They put up 19 shots on Jari. I want to give Jari some credit. I thought he was good, but There were some definite breakdowns in the Sabres end on the goals against, and that backbreaker when Rush scores right away after Quinn tied it, to me, was a huge moment.
Definitely. I mean, what you've heard Lindy Ruff, since he's been here, talk about the one percenters. And I think it really came into play in this game. Just the little things that went against you. The Timmins turnover. You know, that's as Lindy, I just don't understand. He's right. You put it in the zone, you put it in deep. Simple. Just make the simple play.
Right.
And it's in your net, you know, and it did get deflected, which you thought it did. And, you know, on the second goal, you have the momentum. You're all over Jarry. He's making great saves, but yet you finally got through. And then 31 seconds, it's in your net. Lukanen lost his stick. If you notice, he went to pick it up. And when he went to pick it up, he didn't get it. And now he's, all right, where's the puck? And I don't think you're giving enough look into what Byram did. He went down in front of him, and now he's dealing with that, and the puck went under him. Plus, yeah. Now he's in the net with his legs open, which normally his stick would be there had he picked it up, but he didn't. And he was still kind of scrambling, but he was over there. By the time he got over there, he was over there, but when he got over there, the pads were open. You know, so, you know, just the little one percenters. You know, Byram is that close to blocking the shot, but instead he screens his goalie. Lukanen is that close to picking up his stick. Then he probably has that shot, but he doesn't get it. Now he's scrambling. You know, and you know, look at all the chances. Look at the two-on-one, McLeod and Quinn coming down. Just a shade late. Had that pass just been a split second sooner, he's got a tap-in. But instead, he's kind of by the net once it got to his stick. Just those little one percenters that and then I don't call it a one percenter when you got a guy in front of the net and he doesn't pick the guy up. He has got to start to learn. I still think he can become a good defenseman. He has got to stop this not covering people in front of the net when he's standing there. It happens way too much. And it cost him a game. I mean, that's the third goal. Buffalo scored to make it 3-2 and had some great chances. They haven't scored a goal 6-on-5 all year. At least this time, they had three glorious scoring opportunities. They usually don't even get a scoring chance. And then, of course, Pittsburgh gets the breakaway, and it's in your net. You know, so it's 9-0, 6-on-5 for the Sabres. You know, and last I looked, they led the league in empty net goals. I don't know if they still do. I'm sure they're right there. Yeah. And, you know, they led the league last year in empty net goals, and they haven't scored one. But at least this one, as I said, they put some pressure on, and Jarry just made some good saves. You could almost say they got goalied, and even though they scored two goals, Jarry was great. He hadn't played in seven games because he had been injured, but he wasn't rusty at all. And when he needed to be, when the Sabres started putting on some pressure, and they had some glorious opportunities in tight on him, and he made some
look
great
at the Buffalo,
saves.
Look at the Buffalo goals, too. Like, those aren't at all Jari's fault. Those are just great plays by Quinn with just very, very fast release.
And other than Thompson, Quinn's probably their best shooter. You know, so you give him that kind of time and those kind of chances, they're probably going to wind up in the net. And that's, remember back in the overtime when Quinn decided to pass to Thompson instead of shooting when he's coming down the slot and had a wide open chance, and he decides to pass it to Thompson and it hits something and goes the other way and they score.
That was the Toronto game, yeah.
Yeah, I will say that 9,000 times. Quinn probably scores, what do you want to say, in that position maybe 80% of the time. I think he's got to shoot every single time there. And, he, you know, just because of the shot he has. And he got the puck and let it go. And he almost had a third. Had that pass on the two-on-one just a split second sooner, they probably have it. But there's another one percenter where you just missed. And I think the one percenters really came into play in this game because overall, I think it's a pretty even contest when you look at it. I mean, Pittsburgh had the play early. Buffalo had the play late. They both dominated at certain times. There was only one penalty, which probably wasn't a penalty. So, you know, that's a hockey game. Again, which how many times have we said this year? you got to pick up points in that hockey game. You got to leave that hockey game with points. You know, you're in the third period again tied, and you just have to find a way to get points, and that's the reason why they are where they are, because a lot of the, not every time, but a lot of, for a while, they were finding ways to get points. But that's a game on the road where you, it's a 50-50 game. You know, that was an even hockey game on the road, and you had a chance to pick up some points, and you didn't.
And you allowed a team that likely, Paul, I think they're going to have to pass to be a wild card team. So not only did you gain zero tonight, but you let Pittsburgh get two more farther away from you.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, I'm just going to keep harping on this. That's what happens when you dig a severe hole for yourself. You have no room for error. None. I mean, they won four or five games, 8 out of 10 points. That's really good. They played really well. But you got past one team doing that. So that means what do you got to do? Go get 8 out of 10 points again just to get by the next two teams? And you got to get by 7 teams? I mean, that's the problem. When you put yourself in this spot, there is just no room whatsoever for error.
Paul Hamilton with us here on the postgame live in Pittsburgh as the Sabres fall 4-2. They'll play New Jersey Friday at 4 o'clock at KeyBank Center. Paul, even I wanted to mention this. Oslin made a really nice setup. I believe he was the one that made the pass to Samuelson for a really good look in front, and Jari made that save. That was even before Quinn got it to a one-goal game. So, I mean, they pressured really well in those final minutes, but even before then, I thought that was a really nice stop by Jari there.
Yeah, and I didn't even get a chance to write down who had the chances right before the empty net goal, but they were glorious scoring chances, and Jari just was really strong and made some great saves. Again, I don't know if you wrote it down on your pad, and I didn't get a chance to, because
Zucker and Quinn were around the crease there banging away for sure. They had some looks.
Right. I mean, just you got to give Jari credit sometimes.
Yeah.
It wasn't like the Sabres ever gave up or anything like that. They gave it their all. But little things like standing around as the third guy scoring the third goal is coming down the slot and watching him and not covering him. I don't care if you trip him, whatever. You got the best penalty kill in the league. But do something. Don't stand there and look at him. And that happens way too much.
Yep. All right, Paul. Well, yeah, I mean, that moment that Russ scores right after Quinn ties it, like, I thought we've seen that a lot more in previous seasons throughout the drought. I feel like it hadn't really been a storyline this year. I feel like this is maybe the worst example that I feel like we've talked about it, right, this year?
This is the best in a while I've seen them after goals, both for and against. They had bad shifts both before. And this year, for the most part, that's not – I wouldn't say because it happened tonight that it's a problem. It's a problem tonight, but it has. I agree. I do not think that's been a problem this year.
Yeah. Well, for their case, they hope maybe it's just a one-off thing and, you know, as you said, learn from it and keep it a focus, because it looks like maybe it's been better than something that they've had. So, okay, Paul, I wish you safe travels back. Please keep two hands on the wheel. I just saw the Buffalo airport just had a wind gust of 68 miles per hour. So,
yeah.
Be safe coming back, and I hope you have a good day tomorrow watching some football and have some good food, and I'll see you Friday at the arena.
Well, I hear it's supposed to be a little worse now than or during the night overnight than maybe tomorrow morning, so hopefully I'll catch a break.
That's right. Thanks, Paul. Great work tonight. I'll see you Friday.
Okay, take care.
Okay. Paul Hamilton live at PPG Paints Arena in Pittsburgh, where tonight 17,543 saw the Sabres fall to the Penguins by a score of 4-2. Buffalo on the season now. They dropped their 10th game in regulation. They are now 9-10-4, still with 22 points. All right, when we come back, we'll read some tweets. Send them to me at BrianWGR as we'll get connected with our fans powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. We'll also get our drive around the league, see what's happening elsewhere. Did the Leafs win and pass Buffalo to push them back into the basement? We'll have to check that out as well. So more coming up here on the postgame. 4-2 Pittsburgh, the final. Let's say goodnight to all of our local affiliate stations. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And I'll speak with you next on Friday with the Sabres and the Devils at 4. For all of you on our flagship on WGR or WGR550.com or on the Odyssey app, we got more postgame coming up. 4-2 Pittsburgh, the final. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Back out to center with five to go. Quinn drops it at the line. Holding it, Thompson with a shot. Gets it back again. Backhand stopped by Jari. As he worked right to the front of the Pittsburgh net for that chance.
Tristan Jari, very good down the stretch of this game. He faced 31 Buffalo shots, made 30 saves. That one right there with Dan Dunleavy on the call, our save of the game, brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. For great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. 4-2, Pittsburgh the final. Brian Kulziel back here on the postgame show. Let's get connected with our fans here, powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. We're going to read some tweets here see here what fans have to say. TJ and I were talking during the commercial break about that second goal. Lukanen went in. Paul thought maybe, you know, it's tougher because he doesn't have the stick. Got some tweets coming in here. Lightju Jingho says Lukanen was out of position on that whole play. Scott says, isn't that the one he seemed to be misplaying with his glove? So that one's there. Paul says, let's not forget this guy lost the crease to James Reimer. And before that, a 41-year-old Craig Anderson. Can we just move on already? Yeah. Andrew says, sure wish our goalie did this. Referring to Lindy Ruff's comment about how Jari was so good down the stretch there. Michael said, I think Lukanen being out of position there, he wouldn't have lost his stick if he wasn't 4 feet behind the net. So, interesting. Mike says our AHL coach is willing to call out his goalie, but this guy won't. He's referring to Lindy there. So, obviously Lukanen is going to trigger Sabres fans' comments quick. If I was going to say when do I get social media reaction the most? It's power on D. It's Lukanen and Nett. Those guys right away seem to get the biggest reaction there. I've got some others on power here too, but it seemed as though most people think that Lukanen still is not giving them the best chance to win. Interesting, I put up a poll, TJ. I don't know if you saw it yesterday. I said, if Kevin Adams is going to make a trade with a goalie, which pair would you like to essentially stick around? And I had about 2,400 votes here. Lyon and Ellis got 59% of the vote. Lukanen and Ellis got 22%, and then Lukanen and Lyon got 20%. So more than double of the other two, fans seem to think that keeping Lyon and Ellis is what they would want to be going forward. Now, there's also another layer in that. The biggest contract is Lukanen, so that opens up cap space. Insert joke here if the Sabres want to spend it or not. Yes. You know, that obviously also thinks, people might think that also that Lukanen could get you the most in a trade. I would also agree with that. I think he would get you the most back in a trade. But TJ, are you surprised by the fact that 59% of the people in this poll said that they would keep Lyon and Ellis and trade Lukanen if Kevin Adams was going to move one of them?
No, not at all. I think people, that's more of a reflection of, we've seen UPL for I don't know how many years. I think people are just ready for different faces, different guys. Lyon gave them a collection of great games to start the year, tapered off a little bit at the end, and seems like he's entered Lindy Ruff's doghouse. And then Ellis, he's been hit or miss, but he's a younger guy, and you know you're going to lose him on waivers. So I just don't think there's a ton of value in keeping a guy where you really already know the book on him. And it seems a lot of other teams do as well.
Yeah. And I think Paul's comment in pregame, too, is teams know what Lukanen is. Like, if people are wondering, like, are they playing him a lot to showcase him to trade? Like, that's not the case. Nobody's going
to
trade.
I liked that point from Paul a lot, that teams don't showcase players. I totally agree with that, that right. Coaches are going to put their best guys out. That's very rare. GM is going to force a lineup change like that, like right. Like in Moneyball, right? When Brad Pitt's character, Billy Bean, wants to force the coach to play the players he wants, but he won't because he's the coach. And that's the coach isn't playing the guy. The coach will play the guys he wants.
I agree. Also, you're right. I mean, is any team, Lukanen is in his last, you know, what, he's played four in a row here, like, is anybody training now because of these last four games? Like, has he done anything either terrible or great to the point where somebody's like, I got to pick up the phone to call Kevin Adams right now? Like, no. So,
right.
Yeah.
And if you can get a stretch of games out of him where he's playing like that, then sure, maybe teams will pick up the phone. But he hasn't had a stretch of games like that since the 2023 season.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah, I mean, he played 2 months where he put up almost Vezina-like numbers. So
right.
Yeah.
I think he ended up in like top 10 of goalie of save percentage that year, or five on five save percentage for sure.
Yeah. I think this weekend it's back to back with tough travel. You're going to Minnesota, even with the time change to an hour. I think this is where we see Lyon and Ellis this weekend. I think we'll see both of them. If Lindy cares to keep them involved, I guess. I think at the very least we'll see Lyon on Friday. Again, he hasn't played since November 8th, so we're going on what would be 20 days if he gets a start on Friday. He did have that six-minute session against Colorado, which he got pulled right away, and Lindy said that was more of a, you know, shake-up-the-team kind of timeout thing.
And the further away we get from that, the more I do not believe that, because
yeah,
why
right.
haven't we seen Lyons since then? It's not That's like right. anybody else has gone on a great run. UPL had one really good game this weekend against Carolina. I don't know if I want to say he had a really good game against the Blackhawks more than the Sabres just sort of exploded, and whatever mistakes he might have made were covered for because they scored 9 goals.
That's a good point. You're right. Yeah, I mean, this 3 goalies thing here, by the way, I don't know if it's going away, TJ. Alex Lyon signed a 2-year deal. So he will be here next, again, barring a trade. He will be here next year. Lukanen will be here. Isn't at some point the plan is that you want Devin Levi to rise above them all and be your guy? Like, if Lucan and Lyon are not traded, where is Devin Levi next year? Is he in Rochester again? I mean, are they just...
An interesting thing about that is I believe Devin Levi is waiver eligible next season, so he'd have to pass through waivers if he went to Rochester. Is he going to make it through waivers, or does he have a reputation that where, like the Blues, it tried to sneak him through waivers and couldn't? Is the same thing going to happen to Levi?
Good point. Yeah, I mean, Kevin Adams has to move one of these goalies.
100%. And it has to happen soon, because even the coaches said they can't keep three forever. It's just not really a feasible way of running a roster in the NHL, where really in that situation you have to find a way to rotate three guys, or one guy just isn't seeing the ice whatsoever.
Like, I'll be really annoyed if... Well, I shouldn't say annoyed, because I almost expect it. I will be disappointed. Let's just say Norris is ready to play Friday. Does that mean Noah Osland gets sent down? He doesn't deserve to be. I think he's been contributing very well. I think he's excellent on both ends of the ice. And, you know, I know Paul will argue, well, who else are you going to be? There's no room. Like, I'm not arguing that it's going to be Osland. I'm arguing that it shouldn't have to be that, because you're carrying three goalies.
I think something that helps Osland in his case to stay on the roster is that he's flexible and can play both wing and center, and he can play center very well. Whereas Dunn and Kozak, I think they mainly only play center. I'd have to look more into that. The thing that kind of burns Osland is he's the only one out of the three of them that doesn't need waivers to go through. And yeah. I don't know if
they don't
waiving
want to lose
Kozak
out of those
other two. Or Dunn will result in somebody claiming them.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that, again, the Sabres season is make or break on if someone claimed Dunn or Kozak, but I think they value them.
Yeah, I don't think those are players you really want to lose. I also think something interesting with Dunn is he's an alternate captain in Rochester, so...
They value his locker room piece.
I don't know if that factors into things, and they're going to try to get that leadership structure back down there, but the fact remains that Osland is the guy who's easiest to send down. What'll matter is if he's played well enough to earn a spot on the roster and make you make that tough decision.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this three goalie thing's not going to go away. I also, even just to the, beyond the, how the roster implications, beyond how Lindy Ruff has to kind of figure how to read three goalies. Okay. Who gives me the best chance to win tonight? Kind of thing. Like that's not easy on a coach. But just let's take each of them individually here. Alex Lyon is going to go 20 days without playing, if indeed he even plays Friday. Colton Ellis got in that nice groove. He went 3-1. He had a bad game. Oh, that's it. You don't get the net for 3 weeks. Like, that's not a way to develop somebody either. And look at Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen and thinks he should be the one. He's got a contract that would say he should be, and he wants to be on this Finnish Olympic team. And, you know, okay, let's just say... Let's say Lyon goes in on Friday and plays great. Well, then when does Luukkonen get to play again? Like, it shouldn't be in this setup. You know, the goalies want to play. Let's face it.
It definitely shouldn't be. But I think the point about UPL, I think in one of the 32 Thoughts articles, Elliot Friedman said the Sabres might worry about him being disgruntled for not playing. Well, part of the reason you might not be playing is because you're not putting together enough good performances. Listen, right. You can sit here and say UPL's been dealt a bad hand in that he was injured to start the year. He was injured all throughout training camp, hadn't started a game since March of last year, so it was tough to get him going. But at the same time, we don't have time to wait for you. You need to be ready to play regardless of what your status is. And, you know, if he got a long enough conditioning stint in the AHL, I think there's other ways they could have handled that situation going back to the start of the year, but that's neither here nor there at this point. The fact of the matter remains, you can't figure out who your starter is with this three goalie rotation, and you've given each guy a chance. And I would say that so far, Alex Lyon has been the one that gave you your best stretch of games to start the year. So it makes no sense to me that they haven't gone back to him in 2.5 weeks, in 3 weeks almost, even after one or two iffy starts and then one just really bad start where, again, Lindy's saying it's not on him. I just wanted to give the team a jolt. But actions speak louder than words here. And, again, Lyon hasn't seen the crease since then.
Yeah. No, it's not a good situation for many reasons that we just all laid out, I think, pretty well there. So we'll see if the general manager does anything. You know, am I predicting it? Well, you know my answer on that.
We should start being more like Paul. Let's not make predictions.
That's right. I agree. All right. Well, no points in the standings for the Sabres. How does it affect them? Let's see here as we get our drive around the league. Let's see what happened tonight elsewhere as it's brought to you by AAA, the official partner of the Buffalo Sabres. Well, we go to the first score. Not good news because the Sabres have been pushed back into the basement. Toronto gets a win. In overtime, William Nylander scores in the final minute of the OT in Columbus, and the Leafs beat the Blue Jackets by a score of 2-1. So that means Toronto has now passed Buffalo and has pushed Buffalo back into last in the Atlantic and the East. Who's up next for the Sabres? New Jersey on Friday. The Devils get an OT win as well tonight. New Jersey wins 3-2 at home against the St. Louis Blues. Other finals, the Rangers double up Carolina 4-2. Same score, Philadelphia beating Florida 4-2. Boston, who they were in a wild card spot, they move into the top three in the Atlantic. They beat the Islanders by a score of 3-1. Nashville over Detroit by a score of 6-3. Tampa is now in first in the Atlantic, and they've won five in a row. They roll Calgary by a score of 5-1. And the Capitals beat Winnipeg. Again, East teams beating West teams. That's not good for Buffalo. Caps win by a score of 4-3. Speaking of that scenario, Montreal beating Western Conference Utah right now, 2-0, late stages of the first period in that game. Here's another one. Ottawa is right now in front of Vegas. It's early, 1-0, just 2 minutes into the game. But obviously, you know, if the Sabres are going to get the help they need here to try to get themselves out of being in last, it would be helpful if the West teams could beat the East teams when they play each other. Other games, Colorado all over San Jose, 5-0 early second period. The Blackhawks have a 2-0 lead on the Wild late second. Just underway out in Seattle, the Kraken and the Stars are scoreless. And also just underway out in Anaheim, the Ducks and the Canucks are scoreless. All right, let's go to local college hoops. It's a busy week in college basketball across the country. And how about the UB Bulls? Daniel Freitag coming through with the game-winning shot as the horn goes off down in Fort Myers at the Fort Myers tip-off tournament. Buffalo defeats Bucknell 73-71. The Bulls are now 7-0. They did get a vote this week in the AP Top 25, so people around the country starting to notice the great start that Buffalo is having. Again, 7-0. They've got Canisius next. And then what looms after that, a big game against St. Bonaventure at Alumni Arena next Saturday. Also, Syracuse, after starting 4-0, they've dropped three straight, although they faced three ranked opponents. They lost today to Paul Hamilton's Iowa State Cyclones, who are 7-0. Iowa State wins 95-64 over the Orange. All right. That's your scoreboard. Again, what does it mean to the NHL standings with Toronto winning? Well, they passed the Sabres. They now have 23 points. Buffalo with 22. And then a gap before you got to catch the next team. Florida's got 25. Montreal, 25. Rangers, Columbus, 26. Ottawa, 26. Philadelphia, 27. We haven't even gotten to the wildcard teams yet. You've got Pittsburgh with 27. They're wildcard 2. And the Islanders, they're wildcard 1 at 28. So now Buffalo, despite the fact that they've won 4 of 6, if you throw tonight in there, they're 6 back of wildcard 1, 5 back of wildcard 2. They really gain no ground. That's what, you know, Paul keeps saying it all the time. You know, you have no room for error. And there it is again, right there. I mean, you are pretty much where you were when you started this, winning 4 out of 6. And they weren't even able to, by winning 4 of 6, they are still in last. They haven't even been able to pass a team. Yes, they did pass Toronto, but Toronto's passed you back. So standings aren't pretty. But the Sabres will try to get themselves at least 2 points better on Friday. New Jersey, I'll have the pregame at 3, live at KeyBank Center. Schopen and the Bulldog will get the day off there. I'm sure they're appreciative of the 4 p.m. game. And then, of course, we'll have Dan and Rob's call with the Sabres and the Devils at 4. And then Buffalo goes to Minnesota Saturday night. That's an 8 o'clock game. And, of course, all those games will be right here on our flagship WGR and along the Sabres radio network. Before we say goodnight, I just want to, again, thank you for listening and wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. Safe travels. We know it's maybe going to be some dicey conditions, but eat well tomorrow. Yes, I think, TJ, we have to root for the Cowboys to beat the Chiefs tomorrow. So I don't have any Dallas Cowboy gear. So
I sure hope not.
No. Usually Thanksgiving for me is I enjoy watching the many shots of the camera being on Jerry Jones in the box, watching his team find a way to blow a Thanksgiving game, you know. But tomorrow I'll be rooting for Dallas. I actually really like Dak Prescott. I root for him to do well. I think he's, you know, he's one man of the year. He's captain. Seems like, you know, everybody says that he represents everything so well. He does a lot of charity work. Like, I root for guys that do the right thing. I know there's a ton of guys that do the right thing that we don't hear about, but I mean,
I don't root against Dak Prescott. I think that's a great take. I think Dak has been exactly what the Cowboys have needed for the past few years, and just seems some seasons get derailed by injury and other ones just get away from them for other reasons, but I've never really sat here and said this is all Dak Prescott's fault.
Yeah. The late game with Burrow back is intriguing. I know they're not going to have Higgins, they're not going to have Hendrickson, so that's not good. But Baltimore's offense has not looked good, even though Lamar's returned. I know maybe he's not 100%, but I don't know. Is there any way the Bengals could upset the Ravens? I don't think so. But is Burrow going to make that big of a difference?
Game for sure. The Ravens have had an interesting year. I mean, I feel like the entirety of the AFC has had an interesting year, and you can't really pick out a team that's going to go all the way through. There's no definitive good team. It just feels like there's 10 teams and about 8 of them are teetering between a division lead and in the hunt for a wild card. So,
yep. And that's why, you know, to me, I know it looks like the Bills may not have home playoff games, which to me is disappointing because, you know, it's the last year in the stadium. But if you take that piece of it out of it, I don't think there's any road game that if Buffalo plays their best, that they still can't win a game. We've seen obviously that they can play their work. They can play bad and lose to anybody, which may happen come playoff time. But if they played well and won at Indy or at New England or at Denver, like, I think Buffalo's capable of beating all of those teams if they have a good game plan and execute well. And, you know, obviously it goes to say that Josh plays very well. They can win any of those games. So I don't think them being away from Highmark Stadium would be the reason that they would not advance, I guess.
Yeah, that sounds right. I think the only team of those three that you mentioned, I feel like Denver would worry me just because of that defense. And the altitude difference, I think, would affect them as well. I know they went to Denver quite a few years ago and kind of blew them out. I think Jake Kumerow had a touchdown, if you remember which game I'm talking about there.
Yes.
That was a game. I don't think they've been back to Denver since. I could be wrong. I think Denver's been here. But Denver with that defense scares me. And then the Colts I should throw into just because of Jonathan Taylor and the Bills' run defense woes.
Yeah, I agree.
And I don't want to get any Patriots fan egos hurt here. I would also worry about the Patriots too because they've already lost to them once, but I think I'd still rank them the third just because you play them so often you have a better feel for the tendencies there, but who knows?
Right. All right. Well, that'll wrap things up here on the post game. TJ, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes. Happy Thanksgiving, TJ. We'll talk Friday.
Sounds good.
All right. That'll be when we talk next. Pre-game at 3, 4 o'clock puck drop Friday afternoon. If you're doing your Black Friday shopping, you know, going around, doing whatever, like, hope you can tune in. We'll have the Sabres game for you then. All right, let's put a wrap on our post-game tonight. Want to thank TJ Luckman, our network producer, Kyle Powell on our social media. Check out his game story, WGR550.com. Paul Hamilton, our reporter in Pittsburgh. Schopen the Bulldog on the pregame. And for our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray, I'm Brian Kulziel. The final again, Pittsburgh 4, Buffalo 2. Enjoy Thanksgiving tomorrow, and we will talk to you Friday afternoon from KeyBank Center with the Sabres and the Devils right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.